There are some people in life that you want to know your name, whether it's the owner of some business or some prominent sports star or some big-time politician, whatever it is. There are some people, when you see them, you want them to recognize you and you want them to say, "Hey, man, it is so good to see you come. Give me a fist bump. Give me a hug. Shake my hand. It is great to see you." You want them to recognize you. You want them to know your name. And then there are some people, you don't want them to recognize you. And you don't want them to know your name. I remember there were many times when I was in class and the teacher would be going over information that I was supposed to study and I was supposed to read the night before, but I got preoccupied and didn't do it. And at that moment, I did not want the teacher to recognize me. I did not want the teacher to remember me. I didn't want the teacher to look at me. I would kind of slither down behind somebody. There are times you want people to know your name, and there are situations where you don't want your name known. Well, we come to a story in Acts chapter 19 where the devil did not know the names of certain people. And he did know the names of other people. And the question we have to discover today is, why? And the question we have to discover today is, does the devil know your name? So this morning, three truths about making a difference for Jesus. And that's what the situation is all about in this story. That's what it's about, the sermon. And that's what I'm calling you to do to make a difference for Jesus. The sermon's entitled, "Does the Devil Know Your Name?" First truth I want you to see, notice the consecrated Christian. The consecrated Christian. All of us have been blessed, and when I look over my life, I can look back at the different people that God placed in my life who made an incredible impact and were an incredible blessing to me. There were the earliest elementary teachers. I remember my band teacher. I remember my high school basketball coach. There were certain prominent people in my life who called me to do more, who called me to go higher, who called me to make a difference. My band teacher, I remember him being in my face and saying, "Neil Jackson, you can't go somewhere with this trumpet. Neil Jackson, you can be playing in some major prominent places with this trumpet if you will just apply yourself." You have never heard me play the trumpet because I did not heed that man's advice. That's what I want to do today. I want to challenge you. So forget everybody else is here. I want to challenge you to make a difference for Jesus. I want to call you to live a life that's more consecrated for Jesus. You say, "How do I do that?" Let me give you three traits that we see in Paul that will make the world of difference in your life. Notice, first of all, Paul's priority. Now look at verse 8. "And he went into the synagogue, and he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." So Paul was consumed with Scripture. He went into the synagogue, and you see how bold he was? He wasn't thinking about himself. He was consumed with Jesus. He was consumed with telling about Jesus and telling about the kingdom and proclaiming Scripture. Look at verse 9. "And when the divers were hardened," or when the people hardened their hearts and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. Now notice the next phrase, "disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus." So those in the synagogue, after several months of Paul preaching to them, had just had enough. It's like, "We don't want to hear any more of your preaching. We don't want to hear any more of you proclaiming that Bible." And they hardened. Now, they were still there, but they weren't responding, if you will, to his sermon. So what does he do? Last part of the verse.
He goes and he teaches. He goes and it says he disputing daily. He's going and he's dialoguing daily in this school of Tyrannus. Well, if you look up the word Tyrannus, that his students probably nicknamed this leader of this school because Tyrannus means tyrant. So they probably did not like this leader of the school, so they made nicknames as students are prone to do. Well, Paul goes and he disputes daily here at this school. Now notice and understand the background of this time period. Their workday would begin at 7 a.m. and it broke at 11 a.m. And they would have what some cultures call their afternoon siesta or their afternoon break time, which went from 11 to 4. And then they would come back and work, and they would work from 4 to 9 p.m. So Paul was a tent maker. He was taking nothing of this church, and he was going and working. So he would work the morning shift. And then from 11 to 4, he would go and he would just talk about Jesus. He would just go and says, let me tell you what the Bible says. And he would just dialogue about Scripture. And then he would go back and work, and he would work from 4 o'clock to 9:30. And I come to you. How committed are you to Scripture? How committed are you to dialoguing about Jesus every day of your life? That's what this guy did. Notice verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So 5 hours a day, 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year, Paul went and he proclaimed Jesus. And he proclaimed Scripture. And you say, why would he do that? This is the basis of everything that we're going to look at today. Scripture is everything in the life of Scripture, in the life of a Christian. You cannot live if you're not in this book. You say, well, I go to church on Sunday. Great, you should. But you cannot live without being in the Word every day of your life. They're going to put these verses on the screen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is this book. It is powerful. When you go and say your words at work, it does nothing. But when you go and insert God's word, it goes right to the heart. And there's people that you work with. The only way you will ever reach them is through Scripture. Jesus said, Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. One of my great problems in my life is I'm addicted to food. And you know what? I love to eat. And you know what? I had a great meal yesterday, but I want another great meal today. And although it was good and it filled me up, I want more. And I'm just craving. I want to hurry this sermon along so that I can get home because I know what Tracy cooked. And I want some. I crave it. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you can see, I crave food. But you know what I should crave more than physical food? It's the scriptural food that you and I need. You will never be the person that God would have you to be unless you are in the book. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Notice what it says. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. God will put his hand of blessing upon your life in ways you've never known. If you will say, I'm going to be a person of this book. Paul was, and we'll see it in a minute, marvelously used by God because he was a man of the book every day of his life. He was talking Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you big time with all wisdom. So we should go about our lives saying, how can I get more scripture? No, no, no. Sunday school is not enough. I'm going to Sunday school. And Sunday morning and Sunday night and reading my Bible and I want to listen to it on my iPod. I cannot get enough of God's word. I gotta have it. I'm hungry. I'm an addict, not for drugs, but for scripture. Paul was mightily used because of his priority on God's word. Secondly, Paul's purity. Now, they're going to put the verse on the screen. I can't leave this out. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also shall Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, notice what he says. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was greatly used because he was a man of the book. Paul was greatly used because he was a man of purity. For me to live, I want Jesus to be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. Now, we in our day and age and we in our culture, we believe in purity. We like clean air. We like clean water. We like clean jewelry. We like 24 karat. Don't give me no 9 karat or 10 karat. No, no, no. I want the pure stuff. Hey, we like pure milk. I don't like that watered down milk they call skim milk. No, no, no. I want whole milk. I want all of the fat. I want it the real deal. We like purity. But when it comes to our lives, oh, that's not that bad. Oh, that's not that wicked. I can look at that, I can read that, I can think upon that. And listen to me, I want what's best for your life. You will never be greatly used by God, never, ever, 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 unless you're a person of the book, unless you're a person of purity. Now notice what happened to Paul, because I believe of these two things. Notice Paul's power. Look at verse 11. And God wrought, and if you write in your Bible, circle those two words, special miracles by the hands of Paul. So they were extraordinary. They were not just normal. Most people could not do these things. So Paul had supernatural power of God Almighty because he was consumed with Scripture. He was consumed with being pure. He was consumed with the Holy Spirit. Notice it says, by the hands of Paul. So God chose Paul to pour out his power upon. Look at verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs of aprons, and the diseases departed from them. Notice, and evil spirits went out of them. So the ability to do miracles was one of the proofs of apostolic ministry. So Jesus left, went back, he anointed all of these apostles, sent them back, and he gave them powers to do miracles. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So Paul is in Ephesus, the center of the occult, and he goes with his Bible. Pure, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I come, and listen, listen, listen. Don't tune out on me right now. Where you live, where you work, the people you associate it with. They don't need some powerless Christian who's anemic. They need a Christian who is Spirit-filled, who is filled up with Scripture, who lives a pure and holy life. Go in there and minister grace to them and show them the power of Almighty God in their lives. And so many times in our lives, they don't see it. The consecrated Christian is available to you. Secondly, notice the conniving counterfeits. Look at verse 11. God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. So one of the special miracles was casting out demons. Whenever God's people minister truth, Satan is going to come behind and try to counterfeit, and that's what happens. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them. So they said, we want to do that. It wasn't God anointing them. It wasn't God calling them to do that. They said, we want to do that. They took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So the word vagabond means wanderer. So they were just gypsies, if you will. They were just passer-throughs. Well, they saw Paul doing this, and they said, hey, if he can cast out demons, we want to do that as well. Now, in this time period, and Ephesus was covered up with the occult, with demonism, with Satanism. And in this time period, the occultists would use whatever name of the most powerful spirit they knew of, and they would cast out demons in the most powerful spirit's name that they knew of. So they come and they say, hey, if that worked by the hand of Paul using Jesus' name, we'll use Jesus' name as well. Look at verse 15. So they do it. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? Or who are you? So these seven brothers of Sceva, they come up and they find this demon-possessed person and they say, The Jesus that Paul preaches, you come out of them. In Jesus that Paul preaches name. We're using Jesus that Paul believes in. The demon speaks to him. Jesus, we know. If you look up that word know when they refer to Jesus, the Greek word is gnosko. It's to know by experience. It's to know by firsthand knowledge. Testimony of a demon. We know about Jesus. Jesus wrecked our world. Jesus wrecked our plans. We know about Jesus. And then they say, and we know about Paul. Different Greek word, epistemi. We've been watching Paul. We've been observing Paul. We've been noticing what Paul was doing. And then that demon looks square in the eye of these seven sons of Sceva. Jesus we know. Paul we know. Who are you? Does the devil know your name? Some of us like to masquerade as powerful Christians. We like to put on our fancy little clothes and say, oh yeah, I can touch heaven and I can do things. You're never in Scripture. You don't live a pure life and you're powerless. And you're masking around with the boys at work. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of that Beulah Baptist Church. Yeah, I go there on most Sundays. And the devil would look at you in the eye. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. You, we don't know anything about you because we've never seen anything being done by you. And my heart breaks. My heart is wounded because too many people at Beulah Baptist Church are powerless. We're weak. We're frail and we're not impacting this community for Christ. You say, why? We're not in Scripture. We're not living pure lives. And we don't have the Holy Spirit power of God upon our lives. That was them. This week, we've had some fence problems at our house. And one of our bulls keeps getting out. Well, we got to run the bull back in. And the bull is big. The bull is intimidating, if you will. So we're kind of cautious. We're kind of careful getting that bull in the gate, in the pasture. Yesterday, I had a little fly in my office that was driving me crazy. It just kept zzz, zzz, zzz. And so I waved it off, and it came again, and I waved it off a second time. And it came again, and it landed on my arm, and missed. And I was like, that's it. I'm done with you. And I went and got the fly swat, and I was like, I may have to be careful around a big red bull, but I don't have to be careful around some snotty-nosed fly. And I went in there and waited for it to land. As soon as it landed, I'm like, ugh! And just to make sure it was really dead, I hit it again. Hold on a second. Listen to my heart. Too many of us are just little flies. And Satan says, psst, you're just a parader, pesky little nothing. You go around buzzing like you're all that, when you are nothing, because you don't know jack about this book. You don't know jack about living a pure life. You don't know jack about the power of the Holy Spirit. You're just a pest that I can swat and kill with my hand anytime I want to. I long for us to be powerful. I long for us to be courageous. I long for Satan to see you come in and say, oh man, that person knows his Bible. Oh, that person, he is walking and talking and allowing Christ to be magnified in his body. That person, he has the Holy Spirit power upon his life. Hey, leave him alone. I've seen what he's been doing. Leave him alone. Does the devil know your name? Why were these phonies not known by the demon? Listen, let me show you two. Look back at verse 13. They didn't know Jesus. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had all evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. These sons of Sceva were embarrassed that day because they did not know Jesus. I don't think they knew him in a relationship. Many of us know him as Savior, but we don't know him in the day-to-day life. We don't know him in all of his power. We don't depend upon him every day of our lives. They didn't know Jesus. Secondly, look at verse 16. They didn't know Satan. Look at verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. Now hold a second. So these seven sons of Sceva, they come, they try to cast out this demon in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. Notice what happened to them. The demon leaped on them. It's the same word that was used of a panther. The way a panther would just go flying through the air and grab someone. That's the way this demon leaped on them. And it says, he overcame them. It means he mastered them. It means he, best word, the analogy I can use, he pinned them, boom. I like the next word he uses to describe. And prevailed against them. I mean, it was over. TKO, knockout, it's over. Now, I think the next words are a little bit redundant. Prevailed, it was over, it was done. Notice the next words. So that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Listen. If I got into a scrap with somebody and they whooped me, I'm going to flee wounded. But if they ripped off all my clothes and really whooped me, I'm going to be carrying my head. I'm wounded. I'm defeated. I messed with somebody way bigger than me. They left wounded. I was like, don't miss me. Preachers all over our country today are being prevailed upon. They are being nakedly embarrassed, wounded, mastered. And I'm here to say, whether it's a preacher or whether it's a deacon or whether it's a Sunday school teacher or whether it's a teenager sitting onto the next to back row. Yeah. Satan wants to embarrass you. Satan wants to humiliate you. Satan wants to make a mockery of you. And the only hope you have is being a person of this book. Allowing Christ to be magnified in your body, saying, I don't care if people like me. I want Jesus to be pleased with me. Satan wants to embarrass you, sir. So don't flirt with that girl at work, because Satan is using her to embarrass your family and to embarrass your Savior. So you say, Jesus, I cannot go into this world, this crazy world that I'm living, without being in this book. Without longing and craving for you to be magnified in my body. I just can't do it. I got to have your power. The conniving counterfeits. Thirdly, contrite congregation. The contrite congregation. Notice verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. Notice this. And fear fell on them all. And the name of Jesus was magnified. Why did fear fall on all of them? Whole church, every one of them, there wasn't one exclusion. Because of a consecrated Christian who was powerful against Satan and some counterfeits who were nothing for Satan. So I come to you. Man, this is life. This is the only chance you have to magnify Jesus. Do you want to be embarrassed? Do you want your family to be mocked and ridiculed? Or do you want to be a giant in the faith? It's going to take Scripture. It's going to take living a pure life. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit of God upon your life. Notice verse 18. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts. They were involved in occultic, the tarot cards, the fortune tellers, the palm readers. They were dabbling in that kind of stuff. Curious arts. Brought their books together and burned them before all men. Notice what it says. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Hold on a second. In our day and age, $9 million. These believers in Ephesus said, we don't want anything questionable in our lives. We're going to bring it, we're going to get rid of it, and we're going to burn it. Oh, that some church members would do that. Anything questionable in my life, it's gone. Questionable television shows, they're gone. Questionable magazines, questionable websites, anything questionable in my life, it's gone. Even if it costs me money, anything questionable, I'm gone. Why would they do that? $9 million? Sell, have a yard sale. Hey, $9 million, put it on Facebook Marketplace. Come on, make some money off of it. They said, nope. It's evil and we're burning it. We don't want to hurt anybody with our sin. Oh, that some church members would be like that. We want Christ to be magnified in our bodies. And anything that is not pleasing to Him, we're going to destroy and get it out of our lives. Notice verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God. And notice it was that word again. And prevailed. Look at the verse again. So mightily grew the word of God. and prevailed. Demons prevailed over those sons of Sceva, those counterfeits. The Word of God prevailed over all of them. It grew. It magnified. People were saved. People dedicated their lives. The Word grew and prevailed. It's got to start in your life. You are God's missionary where you live, where you work, in that marriage, to your family. You are God's representative. But you think you're going to stretch your stuff? Oh yeah, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind and we're going to talk politics and I'm going to straighten them out. The answer to our country is not politics. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. Who cares about elections? What matters is their soul for all of eternity. And you don't need to go spouting off politics. You need to go spouting off Scripture and Jesus, because that is the hope of every man. Oh, in Beulah Baptist Church, that the Word of Christ would grow mightily and prevail in this church and in this home. In every home in this church, so that y'all are getting rid of stuff. And I'm getting rid of stuff and stuff. Even that's not bad, but that's questionable. I'm getting rid of it. And it goes from your house to your neighbor's house to the next door neighbor's house. And it goes across the whole community, because you say, I got to have Scripture. I'm going to live pure life. Hey, I want God's power on my life. It's going to grow. It's going to prevail. And demons will beware of God's hand upon your life. And they would say, stay away from that one. Don't get close to that one, because the Holy Spirit resides on them. And they will know your name. I was 14 years old. Now, if I were to walk over to this piano, I could play two or three songs, and I may be able to impress you with one of my songs. I took piano for 8 years. I really wasn't into piano. I was into basketball. I was into sports. I was into whatever. But piano wasn't one of them. But my parents really wanted me to be in piano, so they made my brother and I take piano. It came time for the recital. And I don't know why my brother was ahead of me, but he was. And we had done recitals before. I mean, we would mess up a little bit, but you just kind of get through and it's all good. Not this recital. My brother got up there before I did, and he started playing his little doohickey. And he got to this one point, and he didn't know what to do next. So the teacher on the front row says, "It's okay, Nolan. Just start all over again." So he did. Get to that one point, and he messed up, and he just has brain freeze or whatever. He just did, "It's okay." Third time, promise, not exaggerating. "It's okay, Nolan, just do it again." I'm thinking, my stinking brother, what a loser, loser, loser. Third time, he doesn't do it. He just, "Good job, Nolan, Nolan, good job, good job, good job." Nolan goes and sits down, and then I come up there. I got to redeem the family name. My virtuose piano playing ability was awful. I mean, it was horrible. And the teacher says, "Now come on, Neil, we have practiced this over and over and over." And I'm thinking, yeah, and we got to this spot and I would just totally fall apart. And in front of all of these people, I mean, it was full. I mean, I'm doing it and it's just horrible. It's just awful. She didn't give me three chances. I don't know why she gave my brother three chances. She's, "Okay, Neil, try it again." Second time, "Okay, let's give Neil a big hand." That day, we were shamed. That day, we had our clothes on, but we felt like nincompoops. That day, we were embarrassed, and we were the mockery of that whole recital. I wish the teacher would have said, "We're done with you and I'm not teaching you anymore," but she didn't. Listen to me. Satan is making a mockery of some of you. Satan is ridiculing some of you. You're parading around like you're all that. And Satan says, "Who are you? You don't have God's power on your life. I saw what you were looking at this week. I saw what you were watching. I saw how you were talking. Satan is coming after you. He will embarrass you. It's happening all over our country. He will embarrass your family. He will embarrass the cause of Christ. Your only hope, be a person of this book. Be a person that longs for Christ to be magnified in every area of your life. No secret clauses. And desire for the Holy Spirit of God to abound on your life. God, I cannot go to work. I cannot be the parent. I cannot be the husband or the wife that I need to be without the filling of your Holy Spirit. Please help me. Hey, you can be a victor. You can be a winner. You can prevail over Satan in the power of Christ. Listen to me. Or you can be a shame to the cause of Christ. The choice is yours.